last week I shared with you a message about looking to Jesus, and we're going to go back to Hebrews chapter 12 again and read verse 1 and part of 2. It says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." Looking unto Jesus. The NIV says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus." The Living Bible says, "Keep your eyes on Jesus." That's pretty simple. I think we can all understand that we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Not our physical eyes, but it is to focus our attention on Jesus, to realize that He is the author, the finisher of our faith. It all begins with Jesus, it all ends with Jesus, and He's everything in between. He says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me." I'm telling you that the most important thing is Jesus. We got to keep our eyes on Him. Colossians chapter 1, I want to read a passage of scripture to you that I find is very powerful. It's full of many powerful truths of the Word of God about our Savior, Jesus. Some of these things, I think, are unknown to the lost world, but they're even unknown to many believers. Such profound truth here. He says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And in Him all things consist." See, some people are so shallow-minded about who Jesus is, they think that Jesus' life began when He was born in that manger. I want to tell you, He was before all things, and it's in Him that all things consist. We need to know this about Him. Yes, He is the image of the invisible God, but all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Him. Verse 18, it says, "And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence." In all things He may have the preeminence. Preeminence means surpassing all others. It means to be supreme, above all else, unequaled, incomparable. Like the song says, He has no rival. I'm telling you, our Savior, He is to have the preeminence always. There's nobody in His league. There's nobody who compares. He is far and above, away, superior to all. That's Jesus. And He deserves the preeminence in all things, not just in church, not just in our faith, but in every part of our lives. Jesus deserves the preeminence. I mean, we need to give Jesus the preeminence in our homes, in our work, in our finances, in our relationships. He comes first. He's the most important person in our lives. He's more important than anything else. He's the main thing. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Oh, how easy it is in this world to become distracted with other things, even the trappings of religion. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. What we do with Jesus determines our eternity. He's the one that saves. He's the one that changes lives. It's not about a denomination. You know, it's kind of cool to say that. It's not about a denomination. But I want to tell you that a lot of people have made it about this group or that group, and it's basically the same as a denomination, even if they have no, you know, organization. It's not about that group or that group, and it's not about that preacher or that preacher. See, a lot of people, they start getting their eyes on a denomination or a group or a preacher. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. I tell you, all those other things can fail you. All those other things can cause you to become disillusioned. But you keep your eyes on Jesus, you're going to be all right. Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 12 and 13. He says, each of you says, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, or I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? You know, Paul makes it real clear. It's not about this man or that man. I mean, if anybody could have said, hey, it's about me besides Jesus, it would have been Paul. And he makes it a point of saying it ain't about Paul. And we need to realize this. Don't get your eyes on some particular preacher and you think he's got all truth. You start drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm telling you, you need to keep your eyes on Jesus. And this is how people get divided. He says, is Christ divided? You look at the church in the world today, and if you say, well, is Christ divided? It sure doesn't look like it. But Jesus is not divided. People divide over this group, denomination, this doctrine, that doctrine. I believe this, and you don't believe like me, so we can't be brothers. I'm telling you, Jesus is not divided. And here's how the church can have unity. Not just the local church. I'm talking about the universal church of Jesus. It's when that we make Jesus the main thing and we keep our eyes on Jesus. We might disagree about some things, but when we keep our eyes on Jesus, the church is not divided. I'll tell you, the church is so powerful in this world because it's His church. Nothing can stop the church except itself when we get all divided. Oh, but when we are in unity and the Holy Spirit is leading the church, I'm telling you, there's not anything that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ can accomplish in this world, but we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Some people believe in Jesus, but they get distracted and hung up on one thing. And here's what I want to say to you about that. That's okay, as long as that one thing is Jesus. If it's anything else, it's not going to head you the right direction. Jesus has to have the preeminence in your life. He is the main thing. There is no equal. He deserves your attention, your focus, that He really is the most important thing in your life. You know, I've been around some believers, and all they ever want to talk about is the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit is very important. It is a gift that Jesus promised us that He would send the Holy Spirit, and He told us to pray. And He said, if you ask the Father, He'll give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. You need the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is really important in the life of a believer. But get this, the Holy Spirit doesn't talk about Himself. The Holy Spirit talks about Jesus. Well, here it is in John 15, 26. When the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me. He doesn't testify of Himself. He testifies of Jesus. And when we receive the Holy Spirit, Jesus said that we're going to receive power to be witnesses of Him. See, the Holy Spirit gives us power to tell people about Jesus. We ought to be talking about Jesus all the time because He's the main thing. He's the most important thing. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus, and we need to be turning other people's eyes to Jesus. That's the most important thing. Some just want to talk about their pet doctrine. You know what? Like most preachers, I can get wound up on something. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of people, they get wound up on some pet doctrine, and that's what they will talk about all the time. Let's talk about Jesus. Here's the craziest thing to me that's happened in the last few years in the body of Christ, is a lot of believers just want to talk about politics. How about we talk about Jesus instead? I'll tell you this very plainly. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is within you. And we need to focus on that. The King, Jesus, and His rule and reign in our hearts. That's what we need to be talking about. That's our message for the world, is that there is a God, a Savior who loves them, who paid the price to have a relationship with them. Oh, we need to keep our focus, keep our eyes on Jesus. And when we do that, I'm telling you, it brings us together. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You know, even at church sometimes we can forget that Jesus is the main thing. It's not about the music. It sure isn't about the fancy lights. It's not a show. It's about Jesus. We need to remember he's the main thing. It's not about some personality. It's certainly not about a personal agenda. You know, it's just about Jesus. When two or three gather in his name, he has promised to be there in our midst. Now, I want you to hear me. He did not say that any time two or three of y'all get together. That's not what he said. He said, when two or three gather in my name, that is the reason that you gather, is because of Jesus. It's not just two or three believers getting together. It's because we're gathering in his name. And by the way, I gotta get this in here. There's a lot of false teaching being done about the church today. The word church in the Bible literally means gathering. That is literally what it means. It is an assembly of people. It is a gathering. And when we gather in his name, he's the reason. Jesus, the presence of God, is there in our midst. It is not about what we're gathering in brother so-and-so's name. I'm preaching right this morning. I tell you, I may be out here by myself on some of this, but I'm telling you, when people gather just because of a certain personality, they've got their eyes on the wrong one. When people gather just because of the musical talent of a certain person, they got their eyes on the wrong one. When people gather just because of a certain event that's happening, now I'm not against events, but I just want you to understand, we got to keep our eyes on Jesus, not be distracted with anything else. When we worship, it's so strange how in this day and time people have made it about us, when worship, by the very nature of worship, is for him. Our eyes have to be on Jesus. It's not about the music. It's not about what I like and how I feel. No, it's about him. It's about giving him the worship that is due him. Some of the so-called worship songs of the day are all about me and how I feel. We need to keep our attention on Jesus. And you know what? When we worship him and our eyes are truly on him, we're focused on him, our problems shrink. When we really worship him, we're not thinking about ourselves anymore. It's amazing how so often in that atmosphere of true worship that he reveals himself to us in a greater and a deeper way. And in that time of worship, yes, yes, we are blessed. See, in that time of real worship, when we're in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. The Bible says pleasures forevermore. But we don't go to worship just to see what we can get out of it. I come to give my worship, to offer a sacrifice of praise to my God. And it is about him, and my eyes are on him. It's not on certain people, or, you know, it's not just about the music. I'm focused on him. That's the way it's got to be. That he gets the preeminence in my worship and nothing else. You know, when it comes to ministry, and all of us are to be involved in ministry. All of us have a place in ministry where God would use us, and all of us need to know this. In ministry, you have to keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. It doesn't matter what you do, you need to have eyes on Jesus. Because, you see, God uses us, but we need to know and understand this. It is never, never about our ability. It is not about our talent. It is not about our strength. This is one of the ways that the church has allowed the philosophy of the world to come into the church, where we think that certain people, oh, God can really use them because they've got this talent. Well, God's going to really use them because they have this ability. God's going to really use this person because they have influence. You know, they have notoriety. I want to tell you, God doesn't need anybody's notoriety. He doesn't need anybody's smarts. He doesn't need anybody's talent. It doesn't need anybody's strength. In fact, He will choose the opposite so often to display His power and His glory, because it is Him and only Him that can truly change a life. I mean, the arm of the flesh, the strength of man, the talent of man might be able to stir you up, might be able to move you emotionally, might be able to entertain you, but I'm telling you, it takes the touch of God for it to be anything eternal, anything lasting. Here it is. We're going to look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26 through 29. It says, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. He wasn't looking for that. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He didn't choose the strong. He doesn't need the strong. He can use the weak because it's His power. He chose the lowly things, not the big shots, the lowly things. The lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. There's no room for pride in the kingdom, in the ministry, in the work of the Lord, because it's all Him. We have our part. We plant, we water, but He is the only one that can give the increase. He is the only one that can truly change a life. And what an honor it is to be able to be a part of that, and however God would use you. But realize, He doesn't need your smarts. And we need to get our eyes off of the talents, abilities of man, and instead see that our God is the one that gets it done. There's no room for anybody to get any glory except Jesus. We just got to keep our eyes on Him. 2 Corinthians 12, 9, Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you. Get this, my power is made perfect in weakness. His power is not manifest in the strength of man. His power is made perfect in weakness. That's when His power shows up, is when our strength would fail, then the power of God shows up. And here's what Paul said in response to that. He said, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power might rest upon me. When's the last time you heard somebody bragging about their weakness? Oh, no. We like to brag about our strengths. We'll just be quiet about our weaknesses, thank you. I got to tell you, I want to learn to talk more about my weakness. I'm telling you, my wife can tell you, I'm weak. I am not a speaker. If God uses me in this way at all, it's all Him. And I've been too prideful to talk much about my weaknesses. As a pastor, I have so many. Some of you know them full well. You've talked about them. And some have left. They said, oh, you're not much of a pastor, and they left. I know, but I want to tell you that in our weakness, He can be strong. That's when His power shows up. What if we just gave him all the glory? What if we never ever took it, never touched any of it, but we just gave it all to him? Our eyes are ever on him. See, this is so liberating when God is using you and you realize, you know what? All I got to do is obey. All I got to do is just be available and let God use me, because he's the one that takes the load. He's the one that gets it done. Eyes on Jesus. Wow, what a relief when your eyes are on Jesus. Just saying. You know what? You can apply that in your life as a parent. Every parent has those times when you feel so inadequate. You know, I mean, sometimes raising kids is kind of like herding cats. You know, you're doing the best you can. But what if you get your eyes on Jesus and you say, Lord, I got to have your help in this. I can't do this on my own. Keep your eyes on Jesus in whatever your endeavors are and whatever you're doing for the Lord. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Get your eyes on Jesus. Too much of the time, the church in America is focused on teaching how to. And I want you to understand, there's a lot of things in the Bible that need to be taught and that teach us how to do marriage. Oh, that's a teaching we need. How to handle finances. Yes, we need that. How to be successful in what you do. How to do better at life. And there's a place for all of that. But sometimes we've made too much of a focus on those things where we're just trying to teach people to have a better life. You know, do this, this will make this better. Do this, it'll make that better. And we need to remember that Jesus is the main thing. Because if we lose that, it doesn't really matter what you teach people. If Jesus is not the main thing, they're missing the main thing. Jesus, see, we're not here just to teach people to do better at life. We're here to teach people about a life-changing Savior. He gives abundant life. He's the one. You see, if Jesus is truly the king of your life and he has the preeminence in your life, your eyes are on Jesus, he's the most important thing in your life, I'm telling you, that impacts your marriage and your finances and your everything. Amen. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Always give him the preeminence. I want to talk to you just for a few moments right now about forgetting about your worries and your problems, about everything else that's going on in the world. So many things that our minds can be preoccupied with, and work and school and hobbies and sports and family, all kinds of activity. But for a few minutes, as best we can, let's forget about everything that's not more important than Jesus. I think that gets it all, right?
Right.
What's more important than Jesus? Let's focus on Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the I Am, Jesus, the one who came to seek and to save that which was lost. He left his place in heaven to come and find us. Born in a manger, he lived a life as a man. He went through everything that we go through so that he could understand our weakness, our pain, our struggle. And yet he was without sin. Jesus. See, when nobody else understands, Jesus does. He understands. When John the Baptist saw him, when he saw him, in John 1:29, it tells us he said this. He said, look, look, turn people's eyes to Jesus, right? He said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's who we're looking at. That's who we're talking about right now. Keep your eyes on him, the one who suffered for our wrongs, who paid the price that we might be forgiven, the one who redeemed us by his own blood, the one who was wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquities, so that we could be washed and cleansed from all unrighteousness, freed from guilt and shame. Keep your eyes on this Jesus. Jesus who healed the sick. You know, the Bible never records even a single instance where somebody came to Jesus for healing that they didn't receive. All those who called out to this merciful Savior, mercy, have mercy on us. They received mercy. Keep your eyes on this Jesus. See, oh, if we would just focus on Jesus, our deliverer. He comes to set the captives free. He is able to deliver from addiction, from sin, from unforgiveness, from oppression and depression. No matter what kind of bondage it might be, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That's who we're talking about. That's who our eyes are on. This mighty God, the one that came to heal the brokenhearted, the one that comforts us, the one that binds up our wounds and makes us whole, the one that bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, the Bible says, keep your eyes on Jesus. When you mess up, when you fall into sin, you know you've done wrong, you come to Jesus, your advocate with the Father. He's the one that will say, neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more. That's the one we want to have our eyes on when we blow it. Listen, when you're in a great battle, when it seems like you're under attack, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, he's the one you want to have your eyes on. He's your defender. He's the one that will fight for you. You don't need to worry about who they are, how many they are. Our God is able to save, whether by many or few. And I'm telling you, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, you just keep your eyes on him. You'll get through. You'll come out in victory on the other side. See, when we're lost, he looks for us. When we're hurting, he comforts us. When we're alone, he's with us. You just got to keep your eyes on him. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's right there on the darkest night when you're all alone or when you're in a crowded room, but you feel all alone. Jesus, he's that friend that sticks closer than a brother, a faithful friend who will never let you down. Keep your eyes on him, the Prince of Peace. He is our peace. When you're pressed and stressed by life, he gives us a peace that the world cannot give. It's not a peace that's determined by situation or circumstance, but it's a peace that comes from the inside. When you're weary and heavy laden, burdened down, worn out, keep your eyes on Jesus who says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Keep your eyes on him. See, whatever's going on in your life, keep your eyes on him. And to keep your eyes on Jesus, I'm telling you, he has to have the preeminence in your life. If he doesn't, you won't keep your eyes on him. Is he truly first? If he is the focus of your life, it will show up in everything that you do. It will show up in every part of your life. Does your family know that Jesus is the most important thing to you? Does your work know? Do they know that Jesus is the most important thing to you? Amen. I mean, can people tell that there's something in your life that's more important than everything else? I mean, when you got to make decisions and, you know, you're in that place where there's choices to make, are your eyes on Jesus? You're trying to decide if you should take that job, if you should date that person, if you should get involved in that ministry, if you should take that step of faith, your eyes better be on Jesus. Amen. You get your eyes going this way and you'll get heading the wrong way because there's a way that seems right to a man and the end of it is destruction. But when your eyes are on Jesus, I'm telling you, you're going to be all right. Amen. But does he have the preeminence of your life? Are your eyes truly on him? When you're sharing your faith, make Jesus your focus. Keep your eyes on him. When you're worshiping, keep your eyes on Jesus. Always keep your eyes on Jesus. Well, this is for somebody. You're driving in traffic. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I'm not saying take your eyes off the road. Those are different eyes. I'm talking about your attention, your focus. I'm telling you, keep your eyes on Jesus. It'll change you. It'll change your life. It'll change the way you live each and every day. Well, stand with me. We're going to pray.